Hello, everybody. This is Mike Lampe, and this is the Active Learning Podcast for October 2nd, or whenever else you are listening to this podcast. It might be October 2nd, 2020. It might not be Active Learning Podcast at this point. It might be In Your Face Podcast, depending on what they decide to call interactiveness in the classroom for this time period. But hopefully, if you're listening in the near future, I hope for those of you who are in South Carolina, you don't get completely destroyed by the floods. You know, it'd be funny to see this podcast and people looking at it. It's like the Great Flood of 2015. And they said, this is the podcast that was recorded the day before it hit Spartanburg, South Carolina. And, you know, I couldn't imagine. Hopefully that doesn't happen because that's a very serious topic. But for those of you who are having to travel, please drive safe here in the South Carolina area. I want to talk about the addiction to PowerPoint and death to higher education. I know that there's been a lot of controversy with higher education about the costs, whether the online environment's going to take over the brick-and-mortar institutions, and you know how students aren't able to afford it. There's this massive debt going on. But at the same time, I really feel like there are things that we can control on top of it, and there's some really cool things happening. I've been able to visit a lot of different campuses throughout the Southeast that are also doing similar work as far as active learning, creative, really cool environments that include technology and being as efficient as we possibly can be to lower the cost of higher education. But I want to specifically look at how the addiction to PowerPoint ties into that that mythology of higher education is about to go away and it's a big bubble. I don't think that there's a faculty member in all of higher education that purely only does lecturing in their classrooms. And just as much, I don't think there's any faculty member that purely does active learning all day, every day. I think that we're all in the middle somewhere. I don't think we're ever going to be in the extreme left or the extreme right of those types of teaching methods. That said, I think we have to look at how we disseminate the information and how students are actually able to learn. For example, what is the value added to being physically in the classroom? Take a look at this story. Let's call, and I really didn't put any names. I try to be as general neutral as possible, but let's just say Kelly. Kelly is a student. She's either sitting in a library, you could have her picture her in a coffee shop or in a room getting ready to study for whatever she needs to study. So she looks at her syllabus. For a literature class, you know, it could be any class. So, you know, I'm hoping maybe you're like closing your eyes or something. And you say, okay, for this literature class, I have this textbook and I need to read 40 pages. So Kelly starts reading the 40 pages. And as she's reading it, her friends come in or maybe her roommates come in and they're all excited because they just won the basketball game. Everybody's all cheery and stuff like that. And Kelly didn't go because she was, you know, reading her 40 pages. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not condoning that she shouldn't do her homework and go to the basketball game instead. But think about it this way. Her friend walks up, seeing her friend sitting there studying away, and her friend goes, well, why didn't you go to the game? And Kelly goes, oh, well, you know, I had to read these 40 pages, and I'm not the fastest reader, and I will admit I was not the fastest reader. Ask any of my instructors throughout my educational career. I'm not good at reading. So Kelly says, well, I have to read 40 pages by tomorrow's class, and I needed to do it. And the friend says, well, why are you doing that? The professor just puts all the material that you need from that 40 pages and puts it up on a PowerPoint so that you can get the test. And I know some of you right now are probably thinking, well, I don't do that. We all do it. This happens now. I hear it from some of my students. I teach University 101 here at Upstate. I've said it myself because, of course, there are times where when I was in college, I would want to play video games or I would want to go out for a drink with my friends. And if I knew that a faculty member was going to put most of their content on the PowerPoint, I'm going to be like, well, I'll supplement it and I'll come back and I'll finish up if I want to. You know, if you're fine with that, that's great. But I think that's a problem. I think that having it's discouraging the student to say, well, if that's happening in one class, I'm going to do it in another class. But the problem is that other class may ask you to read the book and you're going to get tested on the book material outside of whatever the lecture is giving. So that creates, that perpetuates this feeling of, oh, I really don't need to study which it's a case-by-case scenario, and then that's when students get into this hole and they feel like they can't get themselves out of it. Now, and you got to also look at it this way. You're asking a student to read content outside of class. And if you are putting stuff on PowerPoint, I'm hoping that I hope that's the case. But you're essentially saying, I'm going to make you read this content. And I'm essentially going to reiterate what you read in the textbook. How does that help anybody? If you're just telling them what they need to hear, that's not helping anything. And that's what perpetuates the idea of, well, why do you need to go to a classroom? Why do you need to go to this college? Why do you need higher education when all you need is a bunch of YouTube videos that highlights what a particular textbook is saying, highlights what a particular person like Steve Jobs, what his philosophy was. There are a million TED Talks makes you feel so good inside because it takes people that are very knowledgeable and very creative in their field and tells you what made them do that. I mean, that's great. I'm not taking away from that at all. I show TED Talks all the time in my sessions with faculty members to show them content of what's up in the field. But you have to look at it as, if a student comes into your classroom and doesn't expect that, what does that look like? So let's reiterate the story again. Again, let's have Kelly reading the 40 pages and the friend comes in and says, why are you reading the book? Most professors will put it on a PowerPoint and you should be fine. Imagine Kelly in that scenario, in that typical social scenario, going, no, actually, you're wrong. These 40 pages, I need to learn, and I need to figure out what's important in those 40 pages, because when I go into class the next day, I'm actually going to need to do hands-on activities. And they're going to grade me for knowing the material and applying it to what the professor wants from me. You know, and the friend might be like, yeah, okay, whatever, and walk away. But at the end of the day, the friend is not having that to do that grade or that activity the next day. And some of you, again, are going to say, well, that's almost like flipped classroom. It is, but you got to do it right. It's not just, oh, well, I'm going to make them read in class so that I can do the PowerPoint and I'm going to give them a quiz for the day and see if they did it. You know, that doesn't help either. Then your students are just going to hate you. You know, I mean, and that's a strong word, but essentially, they're going to be like, well, I have to read the book because I have the quiz. No, do something fun. We have to go back to what higher education, I think, is for, is to creative inquiry, the idea of how do we become an institution of innovation. You know, I saw Clemson's campus the other day, and they have an innovation center where they're bringing all the disciplines together and allowing for innovation to take place. I mean, how cool is that? That's something that we need to be more focused on. So one of the things that I would really recommend you to do, and again, I really need to say this because it's on my mind and I'm thinking about it as I'm talking, is another thing that you should not realize is active learning. If you're at this point where you're wanting to put active learning in class, if you are very much in a lecture situation, think about putting a question in a slide. Think about, you know, utilizing iClickers. But for those of you who have been doing iClickers and calling yourself active learning faculty fellows, I think of the analogy of, oh, because I have a Twitter account as a student affairs professional, I'm a social media expert. No, let's get away from that. If you've been using iClickers for the last 15 years and putting on your PowerPoint, try something new. It's not hard. It's not something that you do. There are instructional designers out there that are willing to help you. There are people out there that have used other technologies out there. We don't need PowerPoint anymore to show students the content. You can actually use PowerPoint so that they can engage in the content. There's Adobe Captivate. There's Adobe Presenter. There's God only knows. Even Prezi is something new and different. I mean, if you haven't used Prezi and you've been doing PowerPoint for a while, great. Try it out. For those of you who've done Prezi, try something new. Try something new and different. Because if we don't start making practical applications in the classroom, then people are right about the death of higher education. You know, I think one of the things that technical colleges have done great that liberal arts colleges haven't been doing well is that, you know, with technical colleges, they can do hands-on experiences because it's a lot easier to do that, right? Nursing and, you know, What else is there? You know, woodwork shops and you know, all the other cool things that technical colleges provide. But how can we do that in a liberal arts context? Well, we can't really do that for things like sociology, political science. Yes, you can. You know, I hear all those activities that are going on where a faculty member tells a student to go out in a sociology you know, observation of doing abnormal behavior and seeing what happens and observing what people do to kind of highlight what sociology is all about. You know, that's cool stuff to do, to have students feel like, oh, wow, I can actually do this with this material. Like, it's not necessarily always one it's not like, oh, I have to stick with political science. No. You know, believe it or not, there's Lori Tanner over at Clemson who's doing some really cool stuff with their technology. You know, she was saying that she doesn't even hire computer science people because she wants that, you know, different views from different people. For, yes, it's technology, and you need to get that technology going, but having multiple viewpoints on a certain topic, I mean, that's the stuff that we should be doing. So that's something that I'm going to challenge you on. Try to get away from PowerPoint if you can. One of the other things before we let go, because it's getting close to 12 minutes again, I want to do a shout-out to Dr. Araceli Hernandez-LaRoche, who's going to be at the Global Education Summit talking about the cross-disciplinary and active learning course that they're going to be teaching this spring on self and society. It's one of the honor courses here at USC Upstate. Another shout-out to Amy Connolly, which I was a secondary author to. She is going to be going to EdSigCom talking about how the active learning classroom helped the IT management course be more effective. And she's been fantastic in the faculty fellowship, so I'm glad that that got accepted, and she's going to be presenting in Wilmington, North Carolina. And also, I need to do a shout-out for Tasha Thomas. She's doing the Spartanburg Writing Project. It's been kind of a staple for her CV. And it's been doing some really great work here. And she's doing a PBL, project problem-based learning. So I'm excited to see what that brings. And that's in the Upstate area. Look it up in our website. It's on there. You're more than happy to attend. I think it's a very small fee. I can't remember how much it is. I don't have it in front of me. I try to go with the flow. I try to be as free-flowing as possible. I just have a couple bullet points here, and I just start rambling. So that's it. If you have any questions, comments, always go to Twitter and hashtag SU2SUP. I'm also on there at Situationalist, as it sounds, spell it. You can also contact me at mlampy@USCUpstate. And if you have any experiences of active learning that you feel like you're doing, I'm happy to have you come on to the program. So feel free to come by anytime. Just send me an email. I'd be happy to get you on the air and we could do an interview live. So we've been averaging about 50 downloads per week, give or take, depending on when I put these podcasts on the air. So it's a great opportunity to get your name out there. If you're wanting to pad the stats a little bit, that'd be great. Other than that, this has been the Active Learning Podcast. Have a great day.